Hello, this is Paige Hattie with CBM Connect, and today we are sitting down with Don D'Onofrio, who is a technology leader at the Snell Group. Don began working for the Snell Group in 2002 with a goal of training thermographers on how to conduct electric motor testing. He has been all over the world testing, evaluating, and troubleshooting problems with electric motors and motor circuits. Don has worked on motors rated in ounce inches of torque all the way up to a NASA wind tunnel synchronous motor that is 80,000 horsepower. And today we're excited. We're going to speak with Don about identifying rotor anomalies with electric motor testing. Hi, Don. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm home for a change.
Hey, that's always nice. So we're going to dive right in, Don. So most of your experience is in motors. So what do you accredit your motor knowledge to? And was there maybe an experience or a job that you found to be the most educational along your journey?
Well, I'd have to go back about 43 years to start my motor knowledge. That's when I joined the Navy, and I was a interior communication electrician on submarines, and we learned a lot of stuff about motors, synchros, servos, and that's one of the neat things about motors. It doesn't matter whether they're measured in ounce inches of torque or whether they're 80,000 horsepower, they all operate the same way. So it was an easy transition. So I had 20 years in the submarine service, and then I went to work for PDMA Corporation, who is one of the industry leaders in motor tester manufacturing. So that was probably where I gained the biggest knowledge for motor diagnostics. When I went to work there back in 1994, they had a motor tester that was capable of getting all kinds of data, but we really didn't know what all of it meant. So working with motor shops, we would actually go in and destroy motors a little bit at a time and take repetitive readings and look at how that all trended. So probably the 5 years that I was with PDMA and going around and doing all that is where I gained my best knowledge for motor diagnostics.
Okay, great. And when you were with PDMA, were you based in Tampa?
Well, no. Some of us worked out of our homes, but we spent a lot of time on the road. Had to wear multiple hats. We'd go to trade shows. We'd go to motor shops. We would go around with sales reps and give demos. And then, of course, we spent a lot of time doing research. So that was, that was where I really got my foundation for motor diagnostics is working with the motor shops and the research.
Got it. That's awesome. So then how can you differentiate between a good motor, a stator fault, a rotor fault, or defective circuitry utilizing energized and de-energized electric motor testing?
Well, that's quite a question, but for de-energized, it's pretty straightforward. When you measure inductance, impedance, resistance, those components or those values are going to affect different readings. For example, inductance. Everything inside a motor is going to affect measured inductance. The stator windings, the stator core, the rotor condition, the position of the rotor in the magnetic center of the stator. Any variation of any of those is going to affect measured inductance. Resistance is only going to be affected by the length of the wire, the temperature of the wire, the circular mills of the wire, and connections. So if you have a problem that affects both resistance and inductance, you probably have a stator problem. If you have something that affects inductance only, then a good place to start looking is the rotor. Now, for energized, that's a little bit more complicated. You're going to be looking at a series of sine waves, time domains, and then fast Fourier transforms. And by isolating using commonality between voltage and current, you can determine whether a problem is coming from upstream or downstream of where you're testing. And the FFTs, the indications in the FFTs can tell you whether it's a mechanical problem, an electrical problem, rotor problem, stator problem, that type of thing.
Got it. So then Could you describe, and I know this is a loaded question, Don. So then I heard that there were a specific seven ways to identify and confirm rotor anomalies. Is that the case?
There's at least seven, and that's if you're talking both energized and de-energized, and then of course there's other technologies out there as well. But motor testing is by far the most accurate at identifying rotor anomalies. As a matter of fact, a lot of your vibration training vendors are telling the vibration techs not to make calls on rotor bars because there's a lot of normal characteristics of motors and rotor designs that'll give indications of broken rotor bars. So the preeminent technology is by far electric motor testing. Now, you can break it down into energized and de-energized for identifying rotor anomalies. De-energized, again, it's looking at resistance, inductance, and impedance. And when you start seeing something that's affecting just the inductance, then the rotor is the place to start. So that's one method. And then you can take and do what is called a rotor influence check, where you step the rotor in equal increments through a minimum arc of one pole group, and you plot out the inductance or impedance. And a rotor problem will give you a definitive pattern indicating that you have broken rotor bars or a rotor core anomaly. For energized, there's several methods of identifying and correlating rotor bar problems. The first indication you would get would be during starting. A motor with broken rotor bars is going to exhibit less starting current. The broken rotor bars kind of increases the rotor impedance, so you end up with lower starting current, and it'll take longer to transition to run. After the motor's up and running, then because of the broken rotor bars, you'll have less torque, you'll have more slip, and you'll draw a higher current. So under the same load, a motor with broken rotor bars will draw a higher current than a normal motor. Then you have characteristics that would be seen in a fast Fourier transform, starting off with field pole pass frequency sidebands on either side of the line frequency or fundamental frequency. And then you have rotor harmonics that'll show up at the fifth harmonic of line frequency. And in the case of 60 hertz, that would be right around 300 hertz. They call that the swirl effect. And you can also see it up around 420 hertz, or the seventh harmonic of line frequency. So that pretty much covers the identification of rotor bars. Also, you can hear on some of your barred rotors, you can actually hear a rhythmic whirring, and sometimes during startup, you can hear like a clatter of the loose bars where they're broken. And that pretty much covers it.
All right, awesome. Well, Don, thank you so much. And then if anyone listening is interested, there is going to be a full live webinar where Don will spend about 45 minutes going a little bit deeper into the topic. So definitely tune into that, and we'll include a link below for everyone to access that as well. But Don, thank you so much for your time today.
All right, you're welcome. I enjoyed it.